Welcome to the Triumphal Feast Podcast, a ministry of Elder Bryce Lowrance, speaking to you from Brentwood Hills Primitive Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas.
We are told by Paul to be followers of God as dear children. Picture in your mind a group of kindergartners following the leader. The joyfulness of whoever's in charge up there in front, you walk where they walk. You do your hands the way they do. You do your feet the way they do. And you just enjoy the game.
In this message entitled Redeeming the Time, Paul instructs us in the three ways a disciple should walk. We should walk in love, we should walk in the light, and we should walk in wisdom. May the Lord bless us to live this important exhortation found in Ephesians chapter 5.
Turn in your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 5. I want to look at several verses in this chapter, but in particular, we're headed for verses 15 through 17. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. And my message to you this morning is a preparation message for the new year called Redeeming the Time. If we prepare to redeem the time ahead of time, then perhaps we will redeem the time when it is time. I didn't think of that one ahead of time. I want you to keep in mind the definition of what the word redeem means as we look at everything this morning. Redeem means to buy up or to rescue from loss. To buy up or to rescue from loss. So the focus that we want to have this morning is to buy up the time or to rescue the time from being lost to us. And there are two great, wonderful messages that are found in this song that we just sang. The first of which is the focus of the young man of the palms of victory and crowns of glory. He has on his mind as he is walking on this low earth the idea of the fact that Jesus reigns in heaven right now, and that one day he is going to be with him, and all the troubles will be gone, all the trials will be gone, and he is going to rejoice as a king. And so he focuses on that, that the victory is already his, that it is a fact that it is coming, and so he journeys on through this life, keeping that as his goal. And in particular, the third verse, he says, the songsters in the arbor that stood beside the way attracted his attention, inviting his delay. What is the arbor? Okay, covered area or an area of trees or something like that. It picks about the idea of that time of some kind of earthly celebration, meaning they didn't have a movie theater to go to. Or he would have said that the movie in the theater was inviting my delay. Or the Nintendo game with Pac-Man on it, well, they don't have that anymore, was inviting my delay. He was talking about the entertainment of the day, was saying, hey, come over here and join us for a little while. But he has his eyes focused on palms of victory. So what does he say? His watchword being onward. He stopped his ears, meaning he stuck his fingers in his ears and got even faster, still shouting as he journeyed, deliverance will come. That's the focus that I'd like to have for us this morning and for in the coming year. Lord willing, I would like for us to memorize a few verses as kind of a theme for not just 2014, but that's good enough for us right now, but it should be a theme of our life all of the time. Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 17. If y'all will read that aloud with me. 15 through 17. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Redeeming the time. Buying it back. Not letting things of this earth waste our time. And when we realize it, then doubling our efforts by stuffing our fingers in our ears and running even faster to regain that lost ground. There are three things that we are taught in this chapter. We are taught to walk in three different ways. We are taught to walk in love. We are taught to walk in the light. And we are taught to walk wisely, walk in wisdom. That's the three things that I would like for us to discover in Paul's writing this morning, if you'll pray for me. Walking in love, walking in light, and walking in wisdom as we redeem the time. Now, I was reading a study the other day that the experts back in 1967 were looking at the technological advances that we were making. You know, they could see that the big, huge computers that they had built that couldn't do a whole lot more than a calculator can now, they could see the potential of what was going to happen in the next generation. As we moved into the information and technology age, they speculated that by the time their children became adults, that the work week would only be 22 hours long. That technology would help us so much that we'd only need to work 22 hours a week. And we'd only need to work 27 weeks out of the year. That it would basically cut our workload in half. They said, when our children get older, the biggest worry we're going to have is what are we going to do with all that free time? I don't know about y'all, but I've got more than a 22-hour work week, and I work more than 27 weeks out of the year. As I read that article, I was reminded of a cartoon that I saw one time of a smartphone in a guy's hand when he first gets it. And he's telling the smartphone all of the things that the smartphone needs to do for him. Okay? And then in the next frame in the cartoon, it has the smartphone telling him what he needs to do when. Answer me. Go to this meeting. Go to this meeting. The technology hasn't made it easier for us. It's made us more busy. It's made us to where we don't get used to slowing down. A friend of mine on Google Plus posted something about not knowing how to enjoy nothing. Meaning there's nothing that he had to do. He went to visit in-laws and there was nothing that he needed to get done. And he was so, because he was so busy all of the time. I said, brother, I know exactly how you feel. When you don't have something to do, we don't know how to enjoy relaxation. And you know what? There's nothing sinful about relaxation. Now, there's sinful laziness, the sloth, okay? Okay, if you look over in the book of Proverbs, it tells us plainly that if you get too lazy, then you're going to go hungry, and you're going to wonder, where in the world did all my money go? But the Lord designed that we work 6 days and we rest a day. Rest is good for us, and we can enjoy it. We can enjoy not having to think about things on our job. We can enjoy about not having to think about the day-to-day tasks. We can just enjoy one another and rest. You know, Jesus, John records in John chapter 10 that he came to give us life and that we might live it more abundantly. Paul had the same idea when he's talking about redeeming the time. And that is not just focusing on the daily task, but having the mind of palms of victory all of the time. And that we redeem the time by beginning to live that eternal life right now. We begin to enjoy the blessings of eternal life while we're still here in this timely life. So Lord willing, that's what I want us to look at this morning, is learning to walk in these three different ways. Going back to verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness and or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Walking in love. We are told by Paul to be followers of God as dear children. Picture in your mind a group of kindergartners following the leader. The joyfulness of whoever's in charge up there in front, you walk where they walk, you do your hands the way they do, you do your feet the way they do, and you just enjoy the game. You know, that's what the Lord is telling us to do. Enjoy the game. Man, I need to do that. It's not to talk about life as being frivolous, but we are to have that kind of joy, just like a child playing follow the leader. Well, he did it, so I'm going to do it. Okay? That's how we are to look in our obedience to God. This is a child, the smile on their face, the joy of the game. You know, the world views following the Lord as rules and things that you can't do. But what Paul says, no, you've got a life of liberty. Look at all of the things that you can do when you follow the Lord. The flesh is going to tell you to listen to those songsters in the arbor. Going to tell you to go over there all the time, get distracted by these things. No, plug your ears up, because the true joy is playing the game, following the Lord. To live a life of love is to live a life of sacrifice. Because he says here in verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Here is the deal. Christ didn't sacrifice us. He sacrificed himself for us. He offered himself to God, so that we don't have to die for what we have done, but we can live as a sacrifice. What's the verse we've memorized there in Romans chapter 12? How does that begin? I beseech you, isn't that the one? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Paul says we don't have to die physically for God. Christ already did that. But we are to sacrifice our life to God, the way that we live. And I don't want us to think of that as, well, that means I've got to do without. Yes, that's part of it. But the Apostle Paul says, do this as dear children. When the children are playing that game of following the leader, there's other frivolous things out there they could do, but they're enjoying the following. What we are to do is be like little children who've been given the best Christmas present they've ever been given and enjoy it all of the time. Because, brethren, you've been given eternal life. You're not getting eternal life later. If you have been born by the Spirit of God, you already have the gift. Why not start enjoying it right now? That's what Paul is saying. He's telling us to live a life of sacrifice. But it's a joyous thing to do these things for others. Then verses 3 through 5, he lists some sins. And rather than explaining each one of them, Let me encapsulate what Paul says sin is. It's a worship of self. If we are walking in love, if we are redeeming the time in this coming year in our Christian walk, if we are truly trying to be disciples, then we need to let self go away. One of the most predominant things, and this is recorded in a couple of different magazine articles, one of the big things of 2013 was the selfie. Okay? Where you take a picture of yourself doing something and you post it on Facebook or on Google Plus or on Twitter. That was the biggest thing that happened in 2013. And Paul says, don't do that. Okay? You know, there was a discussion amongst a couple of preachers about that very thing of posting things. Now, it's not that we shouldn't enjoy and want others to enjoy the things that we're doing. But when you begin to examine many of the things that happen on Facebook, we see people posting the good things. Okay? If you look at someone's timeline on Facebook, we need to realize something. That's not true. Say, well, everything that happened on my Facebook timeline is true. Yeah, but where are the times that you were sad? Okay? If everything on somebody's timeline is peachy and joyful and all of that kind of, folks, that's not a real life. That is events from a real life, but there's more to it than that. Now, I'm not accusing anybody in this congregation of being so self-centered that they want everybody to celebrate everything that they've done. But you know what? If you've been on Facebook, if you've been on Twitter, there's people that do that. Okay? It's all about me and how I enjoy. You know, there's a God here in America that's not the Lord. It's the God of personal peace and affluence. That's basically what Americans have become to start worshiping, is the God of being personally at peace, meaning I've got enough stuff to make me feel okay, and I've got enough money that if I don't feel okay, I can get to feeling okay. The God of personal peace and affluence. That's kind of what the selfie represents, is, hey, I'm doing just fine. Whereas we should be avoiding some things in our lives. We need to be avoiding what makes us just feel good, even though it's a sin. And that's what Paul is saying. He's not telling us that if you do these things, you're going to hell. That's not the doctrine of the Bible. What he is saying is people that do these things all of the time and don't have any regard for the Lord, that's where they're headed. Why do you want to walk like them? Why do you want to live like somebody that hates the Lord? Paul says, don't do that. Be like little children. Follow the Lord. Walk in love. And the primary example that he gives is focusing on other people. You know, that could probably be the best New Year's resolution that you can do. It's not something for yourself. It's to focus more of your life for the benefit of other people. Because if you're doing that, that's exactly what your Savior did for you. And I think the Lord will help you in that. I think the Lord will honor that kind of resolution to try to be a better person by being more like Christ. And the best way that you can do that is to do what Jesus said. Y'all finish this for me. Greater love hath no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. Okay? Redeem the time by focusing on others more than on self. Because we know the acronym of JOY, don't we? J-O-Y. What's the J stand for? The O? The Y? So who comes first? Jesus does. We focus on worshiping the Lord first. Because, you know, I've always asked y'all the question, why does man exist? What's the answer? To glorify God. Now let me ask you this. Why do you exist? To glorify God. Okay? And to enjoy His presence forever. But it's a you. It's not just man. It's you. And that begins with glorifying God. And the way that you do that is you love God by loving others. You serve God by serving others. And by the way, just focus on the Joe and the yourself. The blessing will come from the Lord. The joy doesn't come from within. The joy comes when you focus on Jesus and you focus on others, and the Lord grants the blessing of peace and happiness that passes all understanding. That's true joy. Verse 6. Now he's going to talk about walking in light. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. The first thing he tells you to do is get outside of yourself. Walk in love. Walk for the benefit of somebody else. And then he says, don't get distracted by the things of the world that tell you to walk for yourself. Because, you know, that's what the world says, is whatever makes you happy, do it. Just follow your heart. Follow your heart. What does the Bible say about the heart? Okay? It's deceitful. Do you know it says something worse than that? It says it's deceitful above all. It's not just deceitful, it's more deceitful than anything, and it's desperately wicked. It's not just deceitful and wicked, it's deceitful above all and desperately wicked. Brethren, the Bible tells us that if we just do things to personally please ourselves, we're walking a path of darkness, full of sin. The path of light, though, you have been born again. You are the children of light. By the way, that means you're children of God. The light of the world is Jesus Christ, and he is dwelling in you more than he's dwelling in the world. He's dwelling in you in an intimate and in a special way. So he says, let no man deceive you with vain words. If you're seeking to deceive somebody, are you going to tell them what you're doing? No, then you're not deceiving them. Okay, if you want somebody to help you rob a bank and they don't want to rob a bank, are you going to go up to their door, knock on their door, and say, hey, fella, let's go rob a bank? No. The devil, his minions, and the world are not going to come right out and say, hey, let's go sin. They're going to do it in a deceptive way. But their words are vain. What does that mean? They're empty. They're lies. There's no truth in them. The devil can do this in many, many ways. One of his best tactics that he uses, he used in the garden, and it worked. He used it on the Lord Jesus, and it didn't work. It's taking the Word of God out of context and feeding man, not feeling the soul that God gave. What did he do in the garden? He said, yea, hath God said? He tempted Adam and Eve by saying, is that really what God meant, or is this what he meant? And oh, by the way, you're going to become as gods, knowing good and evil. So he put that in there that, hey, there's going to be this something. God's keeping something from you, and I'm going to show you that it's better. Because God doesn't want you to have this. I think God knew better. Because before, they were naked and unashamed. They ate of the fruit. And then what did the first thing they did? They went and covered themselves. They felt shame. They thought, oh, I get to be as God. What God was protecting them from was the shame of sin. God knew better. The devil did too. And that's what he wanted them to do. The devil feels shame, and he wants everybody else to feel it too. You ever known anybody like that? That's throwing a pity party and wants everybody to join in? That's all the devil is. He's wanting to drag you down there with him. But he used the word of God in a deceitful way. And it worked. And they fell. They fell into it because they didn't listen to the pure word of God. They listened to the vain words of the devil. They were deceived. The devil used the same tactic, or tried the same tactic, on the Lord. Took him up to a high pinnacle. Said, cast yourself down. Because the Bible says that he's given angels charge that you're not even going to dash your foot against the stone. What the devil forgot is Jesus wrote those words. And he knew what he meant by them. And he rebukes the devil with scripture. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. The key to understanding what is vain and what is not vain, the key to understanding what is truth and what is empty, is you've got to compare it to the Word of God. If we read more books than we read the Bible, then we're going to be in trouble. It is going to deceive us. If we watch more television than we read the Bible or attend church, then we're going to get in trouble. Notice I'm not saying don't read. Notice I'm not saying don't watch television. Notice I'm not saying don't go to the movies. What I'm saying is those are mediums for producing vanity a lot of times. Some of them are for pure entertainment, people say. But are they? Network television today. Can you name a single sitcom where there is a strong, godly father in the home that is not mocked by the rest of the family? Now, you might find a sitcom where there is a strong, godly father, but they make fun of him the entire time. All of the other shows, what's on them? The weak father, the bumbling idiot, the man that doesn't know what he's doing. Brethren, that is the way of darkness. People say, well, that's just the way it is in the world. Well, that doesn't mean it's right. That means we need to do something about it. If that's become the norm, wow. Are we wondering why America is as messed up as it is? It's time for men to quit you like men. That means act like a man. Which begins with following the Lord, not bossing people around. Follow the Lord and act like Him. Sacrifice yourself for your family, and they will joyfully be obedient. Don't walk like the world.
Victorious God, what can we pray for faith?
We hope this edition of Triumphal Feast has been a blessing to you. Please join us next time for the conclusion of the message, Redeeming the Time. Until then, may the Lord bless you all, is my prayer.